I like that name. I'm going to, in the next 6 weeks, I'm going to try to give you some great truth. Every week I'm preparing. I took those six themes. And Brother Brian, every week I'm going to prepare. I'm actually going to work these up and write them out and then have Rosie type them. And I'm going to give you stuff right from my heart. Amen? And so let's look at this first one. Reaching new heights. How many want to reach new heights for God? Well, I know I do. And lesson one. Reaching new spiritual heights for God. In the next 6 weeks, we're going to study God's holy word. And this is a discipleship course to help you achieve new heights for God. And notice what it says. And I'm going to use this as a main text verse. The theme. This is my theme verse for this discipleship course. 2 Peter 3:18. It's right in your paper. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God wants us to grow in grace. And then what happens when we grow in grace? To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know the saddest thing, folks, I can tell you that as a pastor of over 26 years that I've seen? I see people get saved, but they never grow in grace. They're saved, they're on their way to heaven. But they never achieve that. What John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I want you to have life and life more abundantly. They never achieve that abundant life that Christ wants for us because they never go forward for the things of God. I'm glad they're saved. I'm glad they're not going to hell. But you know what, folks? God wants more than us just to be saved. He wants us to grow in His grace. Amen? And so many Christians never grow in God's grace. It's really sad. When we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we bring glory to His name. I was telling one of the men yesterday how people would come down to Lighthouse Baptist Church to hear me preach. Not because I was anything, because they knew my past. And they said, I can't believe Rich Skivers is a saved man, let alone a preacher. And many of the kids I went to school with, they came and they got saved. And and I didn't get glory from it. God got glory from it. And so that's the whole key of growing in grace. That you're a blessing to others. You're a light for a dark world, and you bring glory to God. And by the way, that's where you want the glory to go, to God. Notice what I noted there for you. When should our spiritual growth begin? It should begin the moment you get saved. Notice the scripture says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. God wants us to start spiritually growing immediately after we get saved. And by the way, when you had babies, did the babies wait to take milk? They're coming out, I'm hungry! Feed me! Hello? When we get saved, we ought to have a hunger and a cry. God, give me more! Give me more! You see, sometimes you can't get enough of those babies. Man, they can't. They take their bottle everywhere with them. They want to make sure they got their... That's where we ought to be once we get saved. We ought to desire God's word. Oh, if Christians would, in this day that we live in 2006, if Christians would desire God's word, what effect it would have in their life and their family and those around them. It would be earth shaking. Notice, I put in there, God wants us to spiritually grow immediately and continue all through our life. I've been saved for over 30 years. And Brother Carey, God wants me to keep growing until the day I go to heaven. I'm going to read you a scripture from Ephesians. You can mark this on your paper. I didn't put it on your paper. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, I'll read it to you. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers For the perfect, I mean Ephesians 4:11, now verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God didn't just save us to save us from hell. Oh, that was the major thing. But he saved us to work. God's got a purpose for my life. He's got a purpose for your life. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means to teach, to educate. Yes. Till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now, we won't be perfect till we see Jesus, but he wants us to walk as perfect as we can in this life. And the only way we do that is when we grow in grace. Let me see the scripture there. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to have the fullness of Christ. Many times we walk around and our tanks are empty when they can be full. You hear that song, fill my cup, Lord. Oh, lift it up, Lord. And we need our cups filled so we can and grow in grace and go forward for the things of God. Now, I noted here, feeding on God's holy word is most important to reaching new heights for God. How many want to reach new heights for God? Now, look up at me. This King James Bible is essential for you to grow to new heights for God. No one will ever scale great heights for God without making this Bible a big part of their life. I noted here, the Bible is like a ladder. You know, you want to go up the rungs of life for God? Are you with me? When the Bible plays a major role in your life, it'll help you scale heights for God. No one will ever reach new heights for God if they neglect their Bible. No one. You mark it down. All the great Christians and all the great Christian men and Christian ladies that you read down through times of history, those that really did things for God, the Word of God was an integral part of their life. If you don't make this Bible part of your life, you'll never scale heights for God, because this Bible makes it possible for you to scale heights for God. Because the author is the Holy Spirit, and he dwells within you. Are you with me? Notice, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what Paul said. He had a bunch of carnal Christians that never grew in grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Almost all these things I have on your paper, by the way. And does everybody have, Billy, does the folks that just came in on both sides, do they have papers? Now, okay, Brother Mike and Jeannie, would one of the ushers make sure that they get all the things that we gave out? Thank you, fellas. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 1 through 3, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. We're talking about making spiritual gains, spiritual heights for God. Paul said, those people at Corinth, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. What do you mean? You weren't spiritual, you're worldly. Carnals are worldly. Even as unto babes in Christ. You've been saved for a long time, but you're still acting like babies. When you should be taking meat, you can't even really take the milk. I have fed you with milk, not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. He says, my lambs, you should be full grown. You can't even take baby food. I can't even get you on Similac. Verse 3, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envy and strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? You know, I didn't put this in there, but I'm going to quote it to you. When carnal Christians, they act, the Bible says in Ephesians, in I think it's chapter 2, verse 2, talks about the children of disobedience. When saved people are carnal, When they act like the world. And God says, you look, you look, You act and you talk and you look just like the lost world, even though you're saved. You look, I identify you with them because you fit in right with them. Boy, I don't want to fit in with them. I want to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Amen. How many want to be separate? Say amen. Notice what I noted there on your paper. It's sad many times Christians never grow spiritually because of the lack of nourishment. They have stunted growth. Just like when you see kids in life, you see them in those foreign countries, they don't get enough nourishment. They've got rickets or they have different, they're short of vitamin C or different A or E. They got different things that they're you know, they got problems because they were not nourished properly. And their little bodies are disformed and their little bodies are stunted. That's a great picture of a Christian that never grows in grace. They're stunted. Their growth is because they didn't nourish from God's word. And notice what it says there. Verse 2, they fail to grow spiritually as God commands in 2 Peter 3:18, which is our main text verse. He says, I want every Christian, how many are saved here? Raise your hand if you're saved. All right? If every saved person, God says, I want you, he doesn't ask at all. It's a command. I want you to grow in grace. Every Christian should strive to walk closer to God and know about more about Christ all the time. God, let me know more about you. Lord, show me what you want in my life. Lord, help me to become what you would want me to be. Roddy, I would to God that Christians would know more about the Bible than they do football status. I guarantee, and I'm not against sports. Hey, I'm a sports, I like sports. But I'll tell you one thing, Brother Kerry. Even though I might know a few sports facts, I'm going to make sure I know a whole lot more Bible facts. There's some people that can quote you every player on the Cleveland Indians team. They can quote you stats of their batting average and home runs and stuff like that, or the football team, the Browns, or you name your team. Yet they couldn't quote five verses from the Bible. Something's wrong. We're more caught up in learning about the world than we are the world that we're in, the Savior and the Creator that's going to take us to heaven. You think we'd want to delve in and get all we could now about what's going to be coming up? Amen. And so it's exciting to think that we could do that, but we fail to do it. Notice in verse 3, they are carnal, worldly, instead of spiritual. And here's some characteristics of carnal Christians. I noted there's lots of them, but I just put four of them. They are offended very easily. Carnal Christians are, man, they come looking to find some problems. And they're, I noted there, I put their, you don't need, I'll quote you scripture. Psalms 119, 165. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You can tell when you're growing in grace because you don't get mad at other people like you used to. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The carnal Christian, the baby Christian, the Christian that's not growing in God's grace, they get offended. Really, they get upset. They pop. You ever see babies pop? They didn't get the. What's wrong? I didn't get my way. He didn't tell me he loved me. He didn't do this. Hello. I wanted that. I wanted it. He didn't give it to me. He pays more attention to them. Are you with me? That's carnal Christians. They're offended very easily. They pout just like little babies. That's why the Bible says you're like babies when you should be grown. Notice the second thing I noted. They worship man instead of God. Are you still in Corinthians there? Chapter 3? Look at Paul said, verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another of Apollos, are you not carnal? Listen, don't distinguish between me and Brother Dave and Brother Robert and Brother Eddie and everybody else. No, don't. Just give all the glory to God. Don't put man on a pedestal. Put Christ on a pedestal. Carnal Christians, they focus their eyes on man. Here's a scripture. Write this down. Don't turn to it. I'm just going to quote it to you. I just thought about it. Didn't do it while I was preparing the message, Carrie. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 2:22 says this. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accountable? Don't put your faith in man. Listen, I want you to love me and respect me and honor me, but don't glorify me. Glorify Christ. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Brother Kerry, as your pastor, I will try never to fail you. I'll try to be the best I can for God for you. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm far from being Jesus Christ. I am not perfect. I am far most, but you all know that by now, don't you? You've been with me almost 17. Oh, preacher, we know we've been here. You've been here over 16 years. We know you're not perfect. By the way, you aren't perfect either. You know, we have that's why people say, well, I go to that church, but there's some problems in that church. Huh? Hey, Brother Brad, there's not a perfect church on this earth. Because they're imperfect people. They're just saved by God's grace, all coming together to try to lift up the name of Christ. That's why, don't lift up Pastor Schneider. Lift up Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Please love me. Please pray for me. Honor my position as God's man. But lift up Christ. And mostly young Christians and carnal Christians, they have their eyes set on man, not on God. Here's another scripture. Isaiah 42:8. You don't have that, but I have it on my paper. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not share to another. My glory will I not give to another. And so, God, listen, God's not happy when we give glory to man over him. You know, the Pharisees, when you read the New Testament, the Pharisees, they always like the praise of men. It says they go through with their phylacteries and they walk through the streets and they love to hear the praise of men. I think we ought to encourage one another. But I'm going to tell you, if people have to be praised to serve God, then they're not serving God. They're serving it and that's what they're going to get for their gift for serving the praise of men. But God says, don't serve for the praise of man. Serve for the glory of God. Run that bus route, teach that class, pick up the papers in the church and sweep the floor and clean the bathroom. Not for man, but for God. Yeah. I'll tell you, the Christian teacher has to do it for God. The most underpaid people in the world are the principal and teachers of the Christian schools. I'm going to tell you, I pray for our teachers and our principal and Brother Dave. I mean, if I had to spend a whole week in there with all those kids, I'd be in the twilight zone, man. God bless you. God bless you. God give you grace. Because if you leave, I don't know what I could do without it. Amen. I'd have to recruit another poor sacrificial lamb. Amen. God bless those that disserve God because they want them. Judy made those socks. And she didn't want me to say that, but I know she did it because she did it for the glory of God, to help the school, for help the cause of Christ. Yeah. And so, but carnal Christians, their life is about people. But when you start to really get spiritual, your life will be about Him. See, you don't have to call me and ask me what you should do, although I think you should confide in me on big things. Let me give you a little wisdom from what I get from God. But your daily walk should be, the preacher shouldn't have to make every call for you. I don't think it's wrong to have counsel. But spiritual Christians will seek the Lord. Lord, what do you want in my life? Amen? And by the way, spiritual Christians on real big things, that they're not real, they'll seek God's man for counsel. Notice, they are easily offended. They worship man. They are unfaithful to church services. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. God wants us to be in church. Corinthians 16 says in verse 2, on the first day of the week, as you assemble. You know, God expects us. This is normal for Christians to be here today. And Christians, Brother Carey, that really are saved, those they will want to be here. I know when I was lost, I didn't want to go to church. What do I want to go to those holy rollers? You know now, Debbie, if I'm not in church, there's only a few times in my life, the last 10 years or so, I haven't been in church. But, boy, if I miss a service now, I have a real bad feeling in my heart. And, like, something's real bad missing in my life. Amen? And notice, they're unfaithful. By the way, there's no way. If you want to make great heights for God, you better be in all the church services. Because that very service that you miss will be the thing the message that God preached, that has me preach, that's going to do something for your life. It's amazing. There's been times in the past, I know, I myself, even when my members would say, man, I almost didn't come tonight, but boy, I'm glad I came because, man, God really spoke to me about something in my life. And if I wouldn't have came, I would have missed it. Carnal Christians miss. They miss for any reason at all. I can't go because I stubbed my toe. I can't go because I got to watch the what's on TV tonight. Oh, I'm going to tell you, you want to scale spiritual heights for God, you attend every church service you can. Amen. Scripture says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I can't stress enough Bible reading and church services for spiritual growth. By the way, you'd be amazed. The people that need the most counseling from this pastor or any pastor in America, you talk to your brother, it's a preacher down in Columbus. The ones that need the most counseling are the ones that don't read their Bible and are the ones that miss church all the time. People that come, Brother Rod, people that come 3 days to all the services, very seldom do they need counsel. Sometimes they do, but not on the basis as a person that's hit and miss. It's amazing because, see, God's Word builds us up in the faith. God's Word rebukes us with sin in our life. Amen? We have the washing of the water by His Word, Ephesians says. Notice, and carnal Christians, they cause divisions in the church. 1 Corinthians 1:3-3. First chapter 3, verse 3. For you are yet carnal, for whereas you are among you envy and strife, divisions. You know, the carnal Christians are always, you know, one of the biggest things for carnal Christians? They come to church for one reason, not to get blessed. They come to church to see what they can find fault. Most carnal Christians come and they're critical. They have a critical spirit. And they just can't wait to see what's wrong. It's, you know, when you get up in the morning, pray that God will bless me. Say, oh, God, use our preacher to stir my heart today. Give our preacher wisdom, say things I need to hear. And come looking for a blessing. Not to be a stumbling block to those around you. Don't turn to it, but the scripture says in Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5, it says, hey, why are you looking at the... I am going to read it. I'm going to take time to read it. 7:1 of Matthew. 7:1 of Matthew. Boy, people never reach new heights for God until they get over some of these barriers. Judge not. I'm in Matthew 7:1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, you shall be measured unto you. If you give mercy, God gives you mercy. If you're critical, and judge people, you'll be judged. In other words, it comes back. And why beholdest the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that's in thine own eye? And how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? Man, sometimes we're so worried about somebody else with their problem, we fail to look. We got a problem too. Can I tell you, we're all sanctified dust? We're all nothing but a bunch of dirt bags. We're made out of dust. That's why when you die, you go back to dust. Thou hypocrite! Well, I'm not going to that church that's filled with hypocrites. You better believe it. And you're probably the biggest one of them. The guy that says that. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Cardinal Christians that don't have spiritual growth, you'll see these kind of things in their life. You'll see these deficiencies. You'll see these characteristics that they instead of being godly, they're critical. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness. Amen? Against such is no law. Galatians chapter 5, right around verse 21, 22. Now, note your paper there. There's four reasons why carnal Christians never reach new heights for God. Number one, how many want to reach new heights for God? I was telling the Sunday school this year and coming up, I want to reach new spiritual heights. I really do. You say, man, you're a preacher and you've been pastoring for 26 years or more. Hey, I got a lot to go yet. Paul, which I think was one of the greatest Christians that ever lived and walked on the face of the earth, he said, I've not attained. When you think you've arrived in your Christianity, watch out. You're ready to fall. I've got a long ways to go. Tammy gave me, we played a game at Thanksgiving. I don't know, it was a real fun game. You gave people a card, what it described them. And it said, you know your stuff. Well, I think I do know some stuff in this Bible. But I need to know a lot more. Amen? And you'll never know it all. When you think you know it all, you failed. And notice, they forsake reading God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study the soul thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. A lot of Christians, they can't tell you truth because they don't know how to rightly divide it. I gave you that illustration Friday ago at the book fair. And praise God, we had around $2,500. Over $2,000, I know for a fact. I don't know the exact number, but I know it was over $2,000 came for that book fair. God bless you for buying them books. We're going to get one of our things we're going to get from that money is, we don't get all that money, but we get a portion of it. We're going to get a new computer for our school. But Rosie said to me that Friday at the book fair, did you hear on the news? A woman had a cat that had three puppies. This is a couple weeks. I said, I don't care if she had what they said, she didn't have them. She said, I know. I said, you know why? I said, what came in my mind the very moment when she said, I said, no, that's not true. Because Genesis says we were born after our own kind. And because Miss Carrie, the reason, Brother Carrie, because, and Miss Karen, I know the Bible, some of the scriptures, and it says in Genesis that we come after our own kind. So a cat can't have a dog because it's not the same kind. They took these things and had them tested in laboratories, and they come out. The other day, Paul Harvey said, they discovered they were not hers. I knew it all the time because I know how to rightly divide the Word of God. I just take truth from the Scriptures. People get off on tangents. I know speaking in tongues is not of God because I know the Scriptures. I can rightly divide the Word of truth. I know the difference between the rapture and the revelation because I can rightly divide the Word of truth. The rapture is when Christ comes in the clouds and calls us up, just the same. The revelation when He comes down in Armageddon and has a great war and then sets up His kingdom for 1,000 years, which He called the millennium, 1,000. And Brother Brian said Christians don't study their Bible enough to grow in God's grace to understand that. I know I have eternal security. A lot of people go to Baptist church and they'll say, amen, preacher, amen. I'll say, bless God, we're saved for eternity. And we are, by the way. But if you get those people outside and say, tell me why, I'll say, well, I don't know, a preacher says it. Must be true. How many are still with me? Now, I want you to have it all in your heart so you can give a man what's in your heart, that hope that's in you. Notice quickly, because I'm going to run out of time. The bell ring yet? Good, good. I hope it doesn't ring for a long time. The forsaking, they forsake reading God's word. They forsake hearing God's word. And when you forsake God, when you take the equation of God's word, the reading and hearing out of your life, listen, your boat, there's a game. You sunk my battleship. Without God's word, your battleship's going to sink. You can't to stay afloat and to go far for God. That's the first one. You get two of them. You need God's word. You need to hear it. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to meditate upon it. Then they forsake obeying God's word. I put in there Proverbs 7. You can look these up. I hope you take these and look. I put a lot of time in these notes. Hope you'll take some time at home during the week and study them. They'll mean more to you. Not getting baptized after you're saved, Matthew 28:19, is forsaking obeying God's word. I never saw any Christian that got saved if they didn't get baptized, they never grew spiritually. We're supposed to be baptizing at least two people today that were recently saved. I went and paid a visit to their home last week, and they said yes, they'd be here, and we've got it ready to baptize them. But I never saw anyone spiritually grow until they get baptized, until they obey. The first act of obedience is getting baptized, not to be saved, but because you are. And so you know someone saved and never got baptized. Say, man, you need to get baptized because you're never going to grow for God until you get that. That's the first rung of the ladder, amen. And then they love the world more than they love God. 1 John 2:15-17 says, "Love not the world nor things in the world. If the love of the world's in you, all that's in the world is lust, and the love of the world. If you love the world, you don't love God." I put down in Matthew 6:33, but says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Notice I put this 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We are born through the word of God. How could we ever think we could reach new heights for God without it? We are born of the Spirit. We must walk in this and yield to the Spirit if we're going to go greater heights for God. Then your next paper, I noted this. Paul even said this in Galatians 3:3. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has betwixt you?" He said, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you're now made perfect in the flesh. You aren't going to walk." Listen, you better get the Spirit. Jesus said in John 6:63, He said, "My words are spirit, and my words are life." If you want to have a spiritual life, you must hear the Word of God and read the Word of God, because this is the source that will take you higher. Then we don't have time. I told Rosie I'd finish, but we're not. Nah, just a minute. I'm not. I don't care. Just wait 1 minute. That's ridiculous. God chastens. I'm going to take two more minutes. God chastens His children to help them have spiritual growth. Take these notes. Hebrews 12 teaches how He chastens every child. Sometimes God spanks His children whom He loves to teach right from wrong. Just like when little Luke, one of our kids, do bad, we spank them to try to because we love them. When we do bad, God spanks us. Why? To make us do right in the future. He wants us to grow. And many times you're going to have a lot of problems. Now note, all hardships, trials and sickness and chastisement from God are not from God. Not, every time you see a person, don't say, "Oh man, they just got cancer. God must be mad at them." No. God does do things, but not all things are from our chastisement. So don't point your finger and say, "Man, you know, that's God. God's mad at them." Listen, you just take care of you and God. Don't worry about the other person. I've noted But in all things, in 128, no matter what we're going through, God says we're trying to make things work for good out of it. Whatever situation, you try to make something good should come from it. Amen. Christians should not take sin lightly. Continue willful sin in our life will stop our spiritual growth from God. Galatians 6, 7, 8 says, what's a man sold? That's what he reaps. Beware, there's as Christians, there is a sin unto death. The 1 John 5:16 says, there's a sin unto death. I tell you not to pray for them. Some Christians die early because they get off and sin so much, and God keeps speaking, but they say, no. And God says, that's okay, that's it. I gave you two examples. In the Old Testament, Moses, God told him to speak to the rock. Numbers chapter 20, verse 8 through 12. But he didn't. He hit it. And so then God takes him over there in Deuteronomy 34. He lets him see the promised land. But he doesn't go, and his face was of natural base. In other words, he looked real young yet. He was still young and lively, but God took him. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5, they lied to the Holy Ghost. They cheated about their money. God killed them right on the spot. Christians do have early deaths. And then people must be saved to have spiritual growth. Man, I wanted to get into all this stuff. Man. Yeah, we will. We will put it away. Rosie said, how far do you think I get? I said, I'm going to get the whole thing done. I really purpose it. We'll do this and that next week, okay? But take those home and study them. Now bring those back next week. And turn them in. Ushers, come and get those yellow slips. Bobby, can you help me? Or Dave? Dave, you get your side.
Pass them to the middle.
Yeah, pass them to the middle. Here's mine. Alrighty. Let me encourage you to come every week.